Thanks for letting me be here. Thanks, guys. Wow. This is Saturday at like 9 o'clock. There's a bunch of you folks here. I'm not used to that kind of turnout, man. This is amazing. So you guys are hardcore, huh? Usually Saturday morning at 9 is the hardcore. It's usually a little group. Man, there's a big group of hardcore. Two things real quick. That water baptism. Now, a lot of people, they want to catch the experience. They're like, oh, Dan's doing a baptism. I'm going to get baptized. And you'll be having double and triple dippers, you know. So here's the deal. Serious, man. Don't be like, well, I was baptized a year ago, but. Because we'll be baptizing for 2 days. Here's the deal. If you've never been baptized, or you were way out away from God and you grew up in Him and walked away and you came back recently and you just feel like there would be a strong expression and you just want to be baptized into this new life commitment and call all things dead, I understand. If you've never been baptized, you've just recently come back to the Lord and you really walked the path that you just want to give it all. You see what I'm saying? I'm not trying to limit your experience. What I'm saying is I know how this thing works. It's so powerful. Water baptism is so full of grace that when we'll start off with 10 and then we'll do 70. I ain't kidding you. Because everybody wants to catch that experience. And you don't have to be rebaptized every time you get a new revelation. You just add your faith to the revelation. But there is some places where people were only baptized as little children through their denomination. Their parents were really into getting them baptized early and they have no memory, no recollection, no understanding what they did. Now listen, it doesn't subvert what your parents did. It's really more like even a child sprinkling. They call it a water baptism of children. It's really a child dedication. It's the parent, whether they realize it or not. Scripturally, it's the parent committing their child to the Lord and entrusting the Lord's will to their life that God will have His way in their life. And look at this. Some parents get offended when their child gets baptized when they're in their 20s because they say, I had that done when you were born. And they get offended. And I'm thinking, whoa, why is this so personal? Well, you ought to be excited. What you did when they were born was a dedication to God. Now they're in their 20s and they want to sell out and give it. You should be rejoicing, not offended like they're tramping over what you did when they were... Because it's just not about you, remember? Come on, it's crazy how we try to live our lives for each other and live each other's lives for us. And you see what I'm saying? That's what I meant. Yeah, I said it backwards the first time. We probably live our lives for each other. Did you ever see a parent trying to get their kid to live their life for them? Man, don't do that, parents. And if your parent's doing that, don't get mad and harden your heart, child. It's not your excuse. So water baptism, we love to do it. If you've never been baptized, if you've been away from the Lord and you've recently come back and you just want to say, hey, I'm in, thanks for loving me, receiving me. Or if you never really had an understanding when you were baptized, you just did it because it was protocol at a season in your life when you were very young and you really just did it because it was the thing to do, it might be important to water baptize and catch that grace. I had a man that was pastoring for 19 years. Get water baptized, who was never water baptized. He knew he was anointed. He's walking into grace. Everyone respected Christ in his life. He was obviously born again. But when he heard me teach at a school ministry on water baptism, he got so gripped and said, why haven't I received this grace by the release of faith? Why haven't I stepped into this? Why, man, I want to do this. That night, he went and got baptized. We took him right away and baptized him. Pastoring 19 years. Come on, it's not like he had to do that. He wanted to step in and make a statement and just before God and witnesses, and we did it. And he came back to the school a month later weeping and said he can't even explain the transformation of relationship, intimacy, and the anointing that was flowing off of his life. Just from one act of water baptism with faith. Isn't that awesome? Now, he could have easily probably just not done that and been fine and kept pastoring and everybody sees Jesus in him. But something increased. Why wouldn't we want the grace that's available if it's there? Do you get it? So we'll water baptize. I'll be glad to do that, man. I don't care how big you are. If that Samson anointing comes on me, you're going down. And then bubbles are going to stop. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. Here's the truth. Jesus really died. Jesus got beat beyond description. Pummeled and beaten and died, really got nails driven through his body and hung on a tree and died. and raised from the dead after a point in time. True? God's so merciful, we for 2 seconds release faith, go under the water symbolic of his death, come up and receive all he accomplished. Now you tell me God's not amazing. For 2 seconds in sincerity and simple faith, you go under the water and step into, by an act of faith and demonstration, the death of Jesus so you can rise in the likeness of his resurrection. That's an amazing God. He doesn't ask you to even take a blow. He put it on his son. And it pleased the Lord to bruise him and cause his soul to grieve when he made him an offering for sin. Why? Because he saw you in the family. 2 seconds, push faith, and everything he accomplished comes upon you. Isn't that powerful? You know why he got beat beyond description, don't you? Because he could have just got 39 stripes and paid the price. But they gave blow after blow. The Bible says he was marred more than any of the sons of men. That means when they were done beating Jesus, when they were through with him, he was worse than any man has left any man. If he was marred more than any of the sons of men, then his description and his visage was so beaten so brutally that his condition was worse than whatever man has done to man. Now you think of the gruesome, barbaric things that men have done to one another. And the Bible says Jesus was worse. Now if you don't understand the gospel, you think, why did it have to be so brutal? Why so sadistic? Why can't he just take the stripes and die on the cross? Why did he have to get beat beyond description? Here's why. Because when sin got through with Adam in the garden, he didn't look anything like he was created to be. So Jesus came and lost his appearance to pay the price to get your identity back so that you could look like a son again. Do you get that? This thing is real. Nobody could make this, think this out and write all this and make it connect like that. Do you get it? Beat beyond description. To where you couldn't even tell who he was on the cross. You couldn't even probably tell if he was a man. So that you could look like a son or daughter again. So that you once again could be filled with God's Spirit and bear witness of the image. So he became what we were. So we could become what he is. A son. Isn't that amazing? So you just want to wear that, okay? You just want to be that. The other thing I want to talk to you about is, Pastor Steve said about, I know it's a lot to take. And he didn't say anything wrong. He just said, I know it's a lot to take in. It feels that way. Don't think you have to take in everything I say this weekend. It's all on tape anyway. I'm going to take advantage of the moment and just go. Look, there's a lot of people in the room. If I shoot a machine gun, I'm going to hit something. If I just stay on the topic, I might hit a few and I might not even relate to the rest. The reason I believe God has me preach what I preach. Do you notice I don't preach sermons? I just talk to you from my heart. And I just talk real life stuff that'll change you in an everyday way if you apply it and give yourself to these truths. Did you ever figure that out? I really don't come to preach like a sermon. I just talk to you and it's like a family talk. Isn't that right? So here's the deal. Somewhere along the line when I'm talking, something thumps your heart. Something clicks. Something makes sense. Something goes, ooh, oh, yeah, wow, oh. And that's what God's saying to you right now. Now, all the rest applies to your life in the long run. And some of it you might already understand. But what grabs you is what he's saying to you. And the reason I go, because there's a lot of you. And he loves you all. And he's, I believe in one night of preaching like I did last night, God can touch something in everybody's life. It's amazing how people come to me and say, oh my gosh, if you were talking to even one person in the room, it was me. That was for me. And I'm thinking, isn't it funny how so many people think that was for me? It's because God knows you and loves you. So here's the deal. You don't have to process everything and retain everything and grab everything. But what he's grabbing your attention in is what he's saying to you right now for where you're at. So that's what you grab onto. And everything else you can just harbor and ponder and muse and grab on a CD. Here's the other thing I want to say. When I talk like I talked last night and some of the ways that I get into, I don't know where I'm really totally heading yet. We'll find out. I'm still talking. We'll get there. But we have no shortage. We're not unprepared this morning. I promise. Okay? My preparation is him. Let me share it this way. Okay. When I share, sometimes people hear, forgive me, I don't know what's happening right now. See, God doesn't want you to hear in an ear of condemnation. He doesn't want you to always be so beat up. He doesn't want the way we think and feel to put a preacher in a place where he can't even talk freely because we won't hear him clear. Because like I could share like I shared last night and somebody could sit here and say, oh man, I sure have a long way to go. That isn't why God's saying what he's saying. God's saying what he's saying to show you you have somewhere to go. Like everything that God does brings life and light. He's not preaching to show you where you're not. He's preaching to show you where you're called. But we have heard in condemnation so much that sometimes we're preaching and I get on these things and my heart gets concerned and I'm thinking, oh, and then some people, you know, you could just see that they're like, man, you know, and they're letting a voice come that's not God in the midst of truth to point out what they're lacking instead of what they're given. So please, not one moment this weekend, let yourself hear that way. God is not preaching. See, he must be really setting us. We must be all really going to get it this morning. I don't know what's coming. But I've done this stuff before. I'm getting an idea. We're going to bring it. No. I felt I was going to lose it a while ago. I got really stopped. Could you tell? There was some things going on in me. I felt the heart of the Lord crying out. He loves you. He's not here. I didn't fly to San Diego to set you straight. Hello? Come on, that would make me weird. I would have issues and need in my life. I didn't come to be right and to straighten you out. I didn't come to correct you. I came to cheer you on in truth and tell you who you are so you live a life in agreement to that truth and walk in the grace available.
Do you get it?
Talking to you in high places. Amen? You're up there. I see you. Hey, where's my boundaries? Right here on this little thing. So if I stay on here, I'm good?
You're good.
Look, I see the tape, my brother. Now I get it. It's that shock collar thing. You ought to put one on me, man. Keep me straight. Boundaries. Limitations. Bondage. Man. Well, I'm going to stay in your cage and stay free. Amen. Okay. So please, not one person hear anything said this weekend and hear it point out where you're not. Let it encourage you to where you're called. I promise you, God is not preaching to you so that you leave here feeling I got a long way to go. That is a total wrong ear. That is the way we are used to living and used to hearing because of the way that seems right to man. We were trained in that wisdom and it's not the wisdom of God. Okay? Do you understand? I've been saying this lately. People understand. We were homeschooled. All of us were homeschooled, but in the wrong home. We were all homeschooled. We all were trained by the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of this age. Every one of us, the way that seems right to man was our teacher. And Jesus said, you have one teacher. So you're totally renewed in the spirit of your mind when you're born again. You put off the old. Put it off. You don't integrate it in. You put it off. And I promise you, almost every way we were thinking had a 180. It was a twist. We're supposed to think for others. We're thinking for ourselves. We're supposed to lay down our life. We're living at the expense of others. There's all kinds of things. It's the total opposite. We're supposed to forgive, and we got a ton of issues and justifications for them. We're supposed to walk in mercy, and our hearts get hard. We're supposed to make peace, and we're ready to fight. Come on, this thing got twisted. We were created to love and we've just needed love. And the Bible says in all you're getting, get understanding. I want you to look at that. It's just something about it. Because a lot of what I preach, a lot of the strongest grace of my life, like people talk about impartation all the time, and I get the emails, people want impartation, and you know, a lot of preachers preach on it, and I'm not against it. There's a truth to impartation. Yes, there is. Of course there is. But impartation is not the way. He's the way. And I see this craze in the church. If we're not careful, we're trying to get to everybody that has something we don't have to get what they have so we can have what they have. And man, just go be with him. Like, be with him. It's right to honor people and let somebody lay hands. I understand that. I understand. I'm not trying to cross over other messages and make people sound wrong. What I'm saying is, be careful you're not trying to get the affirmation of who he is and the revelation of who he is simply horizontally. Because it does not come that way. You have the right to be with him. I think I'm going to talk about that. It's going to be fun. You're going to be really encouraged today. Seriously. Seriously, because some of us, we let this thing, this way that seems right to man, talk us out. We think because we're thinking a bad thought, we got something bad inside of us. You're only thinking a bad thought and got something bad inside of you when the bad thought's not bad. You start thinking a bad thought, people say, well, what's going through your mind? Well, you might be amazed what goes through our minds, huh? Sometimes I have the goofiest, craziest stuff spring out of nowhere through my mind. Stuff that I would never even consider to ponder, to dig up, to dredge. It's not inside of me, guys. I don't have some messy well down inside that needs dredged. Sometimes familiarity. Sometimes just being touched wrong. Sometimes just memory. Sometimes just the human soul. Sometimes the devil. Sometimes stuff just goes out of nowhere. And you think you need prayer. And you think that something's wrong with you. No, 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 no. Because if that's the truth, then we got something wrong all the time. Because your mind isn't always squeaky clean. And sometimes trash runs through there without you realizing it. You just think, man, where did that come from? Whoever did that? And then what we do is we go, oh man, I ain't what I say I am. Ain't also all that much sanctification about me, man. And I just sang holy to the Lord. Come on, if you're going to sell that cheap, that stuff will come a dime a dozen. If you're going to be that easy, you're going to just sell out constantly. Listen, when trash goes, okay, so you lived the place where you were promiscue, and now you realize the value of your life, the honor of your life, that you were just trying to find identity, you just wanted somebody to love you, and you realize it wasn't love at all, you were just another check on their list, and you got hurt through it, and it was a roller coaster mess. Come on, people live there, this is a normal thing. And then all of a sudden we come to our senses and realize, man, this is not the answer, I'm not gonna sell cheap again, I'm not gonna play into that hand, my life is more than that, and I'm worth it, and I'm a prize to be won, and you're gonna position yourself to make a draw on Christ in somebody's life. And all of a sudden you're free. And then as you're running good and you're doing well and you're going to church and man, you're doing the Jesus thing and it's real. And all of a sudden out of the blue, you're just driving to work and you just can't get out of the mind the picture of a couple people you were with. It's just there. And you try to shake that thing and you think, man, why is that in me? It's not in you. The fact that it bothers you says it's not in you. You're not musing. You're not meditating. You're not reminiscing. It's a lie from hell. It's a blast from the past that's trying to condemn you and eat your lunch and sell you cheap now that you've been bought with a price. So you don't even need prayer. Hello? We're turning these things into prayer issues because we don't have a strong relationship with God. So we think we need people to pray for us all the time. You don't need prayer. It is not a prayer issue. It's a truth issue. Watch this. Ministry and prayer doesn't even make you free. Truth does. And prayer and ministry without the strong application of truth doesn't change you for the haul. Here's what you do when that happens. You're driving to work and you get those pictures. Father, I so thank you. You're a little shocked. You didn't want those pictures. You're like, where did that come? Why am I thinking about this? I don't want to be with that person. I don't have that in my heart. And maybe you're even married now and now you really feel like defiled or like you just hurt your spouse some way. Come on, this happens to people. When you internalize, you take it personally, you think there's something wrong with you. And why do I got this junk in me? Come on, the fact that you see it as junk means you're doing all right inside. And here's what you do. Father, I thank you for the transformation of my life. and you're driving, and what the devil's trying to confound you in and confuse you and set you back in, you use as a springboard to get more established than you've ever been before. You do not need prayer. You need the absolute release of truth, the receiving of the Father, the affirmation of transformation. You say, Father, I just thank you that you've transformed my life. Man, I just remembered some things and places where I had been that you have long forgotten. And I don't even know where they came from, but I thank you. They are not in my heart. You have made me clean. You have made me free. And you love me with an unfailing love. And I thank you on the way to work. I am righteous in your sight. And there ain't nothing unjust about me. You have washed me and changed me forever. See, that's called submitting to God. We think we're called to resist the devil. You're called to submit to God. Submitting to God is resisting the devil. It's a one-step program. We make things very complicated. You submit to God, you've resisted the devil, he'll flee. So watch this. If he's just going... And you're going, Jesus, I just thank you for loving me. He's going, what? She got this little assignment again. Oh, man, I was going to run and do this demonstration, but I'm in a cage. Okay, it's all right. I'm playing the devil and he is in a cage. So he's like, I want you to go here and I want you to do this to them and I want you... Well, you're unworthy. Yeah, you can go to church all you want, but you'll never amount to nothing. Your life's not making a big deal. You're not making a difference in the world you live in. You're just a hypocrite. You're not worthy. What's so big about your Christianity?
Father, I just thank you that you have made my life so significant. And God, I just thank you. See, because if the thing isn't building you up and edifying you and increasing you, it's not from the Lord. So why don't you learn to cast down the faults and the imaginations that rise themselves above the knowledge of God? Because even though you walk in a flesh body, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty in the breaking down of strongholds. So why don't you bring them into obedience and hold them captive according to Christ? Stop calling people for prayer. Be in relationship with God and proclaim strong truth and let truth be your stronghold and make you free. Come on! Because here's what we do.
You're not worthy. No.
Can you just pray for me? I'm not feeling worthy today. No, I'm not going to pray for you. What do you mean you're not feeling worthy today? You are worthy. It's not a prayer issue. It's a truth issue. Because I could do the spiritual thing and be just so blessed that you called me to pray. Now I'm sure I'll pray for you. And if you don't put truth to that lie, you'll need prayer again, maybe tomorrow, but certainly probably by the next day. So here's that little imp. He runs over there. Father, I just thank you. And as you're doing that, I promise you, if you can see that little imp, he's like, I didn't say that. What? I told him they weren't. I said everything you said, boss. And did they gray out? Did they get depressed? Did they backslide? Did they call a friend? Did they pop a pill? No. They just out of the blue freaked me out. They started to worship God. They what? They started to worship God? Because they tremble when they hear his name. I've read that. So they have to be doing that. I read that. They tremble. He said, what? The Christians don't worship him when you tell them that stuff. Christians get depressed. Christians, they gray out. They feel bad and they live by their feelings. You know Christians live by their feelings. They don't understand faith. How they're feeling is the best they're doing. So if we could keep their feelings in disarray, we keep their life in disarray. And they'll just set up ministry after ministry to cater to each other's feelings. You know they don't worship God when you tell them. They say, well, I'm telling you that one worshiped God. Well, you need to go just bring up their past. You remember when we led them into this place and that place and they did? Oh, yeah, I remember that. Remember how they felt so defiled afterward and felt dirty but we played them right in and said, gotcha. And yeah, I remember. Go remind them of that. Oh.
Remember that time when you went? Well, you really will remember, and you knew you shouldn't go, but you went anyway.
Come on, this stuff happens to people. And that thought pattern just rocks people. And then you hear this thing, but you knew better. This ain't the same. You knew better. You did it anyway. Well, if you really knew, if you really knew, if you really knew. Come on. You technically knew better. But if you really knew, probably wouldn't have been there. Come on. Just because you heard the sermon doesn't mean you're empowered. Father, I just thank you that you've made me a brand new creation. I so love you for making me brand new. You have taken all the old things away and you've made everything new. God, I thank you that on my way to work here, I can lift my head high and know that you live inside of me and there's nothing lacking in me. I've been a house fit for a king and you love to live inside of me. Father, I thank you for the transformation. All of a sudden the presence of God's there. And boss, you ain't got to believe this. I told them everything you said to remind them. Remember that thing and that stuff they did earlier? They just started to weep and thank God for his love. Were they what? Yeah. And I'm telling you, come on, man. You got to be kidding. You're messing up, stupid. I'm telling you, God started to come in the room. It got hot in there. I had to get out, man. Devil says, move aside, man. You don't know what you're doing. Let me handle this myself. He goes over there. And Father, I just honor you and appreciate the blood that you shed through Jesus Christ for me. That you've seen my life as valuable from way back in the beginning. You made me for your image. So all of a sudden, you're totally ignoring. Did you ever play the ignore game growing up? And somebody either ignored you or you ignored somebody. And they were like so mad, or you were so mad. And you'd be like, oh, come on, you know you hear me. Knock it off. And you're like, did somebody say something? Why don't you do that? Because we're taught. Bind the devil, rebuke the devil, bind the devil. And you're all tired and frustrated and wonder why it ain't working and you still hear the thought. It's because you can bind the devil all day, but if you don't replace the lie with truth, you'll never go free in the matter. Your war is not with the devil. It's walking in truth. You're fighting the good fight of faith. You're not fighting the devil. He has schemes and strategies set against you, trying to wrestle with you. Why don't you just pin him with truth and not give him any points? Hello? Come on. You're taught to bind the devil, rebuke the devil. I bind you, devil. I cast that thought out in Jesus' name. And the thought goes, boom. Now you're tired. You've paced. You wore out your carpet. You just fought the devil and shadow boxed for an hour. Now your authority's in question. Your right standing with God's in question. Why isn't the gospel working? Now you're even more vulnerable. Now you're beat up in your identity. You look in the mirror. What a wimpy Christian. Maybe the devil's right. I've seen this stuff. I'm not making this up. I've seen it countless times. Don't let it ever be you after this day. Come on, you have a weapon. Just because trash went through your head, don't you think there's some messed up well inside of you? Don't think there's some kind of grave inside of you? No, there's something outside trying to get back in and reclaim you now that you've been bought with a price. You hear me? Listen, man. I was in a service. Before I was saved, I was never addicted to pornography in the way like I went around, snuck around and had to get a hold of it. It was just everywhere anyway. It was just at my workplace. It was on the tabletops. It was crazy. And I just check it out now and then. And I put some things in me that I shouldn't have put in me, like people do. And then I got born again. And I watched a couple videos. And years later, I'm pastoring. Got a handheld. That wasn't cool. I had a handheld in my hand. I don't like handhelds. I was just in bondage, man. Kind of like. I'm joking. So I got this handheld in my hand. And you worship folks are amazing, right? Like, isn't this amazing? Seriously. So it was one of those settings where the people with instruments started to let go of their instruments. They were just, it just was one of them amazing things. And the only person left was the keyboardist.
And they were just tinkering like the high keys and barely touching. And everybody was gone. And I'm standing there, and it was an amazing moment. And I'm supposed to minister, and I'm going to step right in. It was actually at my home church, so I was authority there. I was going to step right in and flow whenever. So I'm standing there enjoying this, thinking, this is so, I said, it's your people, man. They're in love. Jesus is in the house. It's awesome. Yeah. And I'm like, oh. And I'm just standing there. This is like in 1999. Like, these videos in that setting. Duh! And people say, well, brother, you need to get some things cleaned out of that closet of yours. You are so wrong. There's no closet. Stop it. That's crazy. I know more. I'm not even thinking that stuff. I got the mic. I'm a pastor. This thing is so on purpose. It's so calculated. I got the mic. The worship's ridiculous. God's presence is there. And the keyboardist is just tinkering. And I love that stuff. I'm a pushover for that. So I just, don't do it this weekend. I won't preach. I'll just lay there. Just don't do it. Don't try to bless me. You'll mess me up. Stop. Don't even get no ideas. Because I won't preach. It'll be yours. Which is good. That's good. I love to hear you preach. So I'm there on a holding mic, got my eyes closed. And out of nowhere, this video started playing in my head. Like I was watching it. Detailed video from 7-8 years ago. You say, brother, you need some inner healing. No, that's where you're way wrong. I need to be confident in the truth of who I am and stand separate from those lies so they can never entangle me again. Because I'm not chasing something that he already paid for me to be free from. Now listen, watch what I did. Watch what I did. See, I'm a warrior. See, I'm nice to you because you're people. Like, I'm approachable. Did you notice that? You're not afraid to talk to me. I'm a real guy. I love Jesus and I love you. But you ain't the devil. I'm a warrior. You have no idea. I ain't playing. My life's squeaky clean. Like, I squeak when I walk. You might not believe that. But if you were discerning, it's... I understand holiness through righteousness. I don't try to be holy. I've never have. That would be a failure. But I don't lose sight of who I've become, and I'm in deep love with Jesus, and I'm so thankful for what he accomplished in me, and then grace has a loud voice. And all of a sudden, I'm living something that's impossible apart from him.
You get it?
But here's the thing. You might think seeing that video is sin. And you might think that now you're ready to preach and you're disqualified. You might lay down the mic and crawl to the altar and cry and wonder why this trash is in you. You think the timing was on purpose? Do you think this thing happened out of the blue on purpose, right when I'm ready to minister? Well, you should have seen what I did. Sorry to them worship folks, because the atmosphere was amazing. And guess what I did? Way out of the box, out of the atmosphere. I was like the only one in the room, because now I'm in warfare. Now you just touched me wrong. You just shouldn't even poke me like that. Because if you poke me, look, if you poke an orange, you get orange juice. You ought to know that in California. You don't get apple juice when you poke an orange. That's weird. It ought to be weird when you poke a Christian and get anything other than Christ. Man, that ought to be so weird because Christ is in you. So if you poke a Christian, Christ ought to be everywhere. It shouldn't be depression, discouragement, frustration, tears, fear. You touch a Christian, Jesus ought to just splatter the walls. Go ahead and poke me. Look, I ain't picking a fight, but poke me. Yay! See? Because you just poked me. When that video came through, you poked me. He just shouldn't have poked me. He should know better, but he can't stop. Steal, kill, destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. Look for opportunity. Look for opportunity. Look. He'll never stop trying to find access to you. He roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for ignorance, for lack of understanding, for weakness, for vulnerability, for misunderstanding. He's looking for a landing strip. If you don't have clear theology, he's landing all the time. No wonder you struggle and cycle and need prayer for the same issues and the same issues because you think those issues are you.
Those issues are not you. You have to make a tree good if the fruit's going to change. You can't just wait for deliverance or a feeling or a big hurrah and breakthrough. Your breakthrough has come. Christ has come. Truth has come. You separate yourself from the lie in prayer and you declare that you're more than that. I know a man, and most old school folks have real trouble with this because we got legalistic along the way and don't realize that we got hardcore, like, well, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, God saw that. Well, that ain't right. And this guy had himself in bondage. Now I don't preach. Did you ever hear, notice that I don't preach, you shouldn't smoke, you shouldn't drink, you shouldn't. I just preach Jesus and love him and relationship, and that'll work out what your life's going to look like. I don't preach, well, you shouldn't do this. Now, if I was pastoring, I'd have to address certain situations at certain settings, but I don't just come out of the blue and say, well, why are you doing that? Well, you shouldn't do that. Some people have a conviction that they shouldn't be smoking. Some people never even thought about it and they don't have that conviction. And then sometimes they grow into that conviction or whatever. I don't touch that stuff and preach that stuff. I just preach Jesus, who we are, what we're called to, and everything else finds its proper place in that place. You follow what I'm saying? But this guy believed in his heart that there's no way he should be smoking. He felt like he was hurting his body. He felt like it wasn't a good example to people and stuff. And he just felt like I shouldn't be smoking. But because he gave himself to it, this thing seemed to have him. And he couldn't stop. And every time he smoked, it defiled him and grayed him out. So he never felt like he had true access to God because he was condemned in his conscience. Just because of a little stick of tobacco that he had a conviction over. Are you following me? Guess what he did? He'd light one up because he's compulsed. The people he knew were praying for him, but he didn't see any freedom from like addiction or anything. And he's smoking. Guess what his pastor told him to do when he was lighting cigarettes? Man, I love this kind of stuff. See, this stuff isn't taught ever because it sounds hypocritical to people. But watch what he did. The pastor said, every time you light a cigarette, you thank God he's delivered you from the power of darkness. That you're his son, that he loves you, that the blood has washed you from all sin. He said, I can't do that. I'll be a hypocrite. He said, no, you'll be a good tree. He said, you got to become a good tree. He said, every time you feel the compulsion to light one up and you're lighting one up, you worship God and you thank God he loves you and that your life is more than nicotine and cigarettes and there's nothing in it that drives you that needs this thing. And he said, wow, I'm smoking it? He said, just do it. So this guy's like, Lord, I just thank you. I'm called out of darkness and light. And he felt weird, but he did it. And he's doing it again. He finishes the pack. He makes this vow. I'm not going to get another pack. I'm not going to get another pack. He walks into the store. Get another pack. As he's buying the pack, he's walking to the truck. Father, I thank you. You love me. I thank you that I'm a good tree. I thank you that you've called me out of darkness. You delivered me from darkness and you've entered me into the kingdom of the Son of your love. And he's really sincere. He's convicted. He has a compulsion, but he does. It's not him. It's not his heart. It's not. But you say, but it's his life. And we judge for that. Man, lighten up and get a grip and learn how to pastor people. You're not giving him an excuse for sin. You're showing him how to get free. You're not telling him that it's okay to stay the same. You're telling him how to change without condemnation, work, struggling, and failing. How many of us have tried to change and in the changing, we've run the risk of pass or fail? And then when you fail, you're really condemned. And now your prayer life's hit. And now you can't even approach God like a bride with an unveiled face, man. You're still masked. Because that thing grays you out and you feel like you can't. Hello? This happens to people all the time. I know. I pastor. I check. I find out. This guy goes in his truck. He throws a cigarette thing in there. And he's driving. And by habit, he picked up the pack and took that little thing you'd take off. And he took that little thing off. And he's driving, and he thought, well, I don't even want one. He threw the thing in the console and never touched another cigarette from that day. This was like 4 days in. 3 days in. He finished the cigarettes he had in his truck, went and bought a new pack, opened it, and never took one out and said, man, it just went away. Why? Made a tree good. Condemnation was over. The devil had him in a snare, had him in a bind. And the church is telling me, well, you need to quit. All that blood Jesus shed for you, and you got to pick up a cigarette? You, man, you need more integrity than that. Leave the stupid cigarette down. Jesus shed his blood for you. You need to pay him back. You owe him more than that, man. So just stop. Can't you see his heart's crying out? He can't stop. Something's driving him that he gave himself to, and only Jesus can make him free. And Jesus is truth. We think he's a mystical touch. He's the truth. Let's stop reducing Jesus to a mystical touch. Thank God when He touches you. But He is the truth. And it's the truth that makes you free.
You get it?
Come on, guys. Don't reduce Him to a mystical touch. You're not waiting for something to fall on your lap, poof, and feel better. Yay. You want the eye you look through to change. You want your life to be transformed by the way you think and understand. You guys follow me? Come on, this thing's important. So this stupid video, you guys thought I forgot the story, didn't you?
Only the Holy Ghost can bring me back there. Because I was gone, man. It's like I knew right where I was. How do you do that? That's an enigma to me. That's the Holy Ghost.
It's awesome. So remember, I had this video go through my head, remember? The atmosphere is ridiculous, man. It's like a holy reverent where you don't even want to speak, right? So guess what I do? Father, I just thank You for Your amazing, unstoppable love for me. That 4 years ago, You've transformed my life and made me a brand new man. You've cleaned me. You've made me pure. You've purified my heart. You put all that You are inside of me. And people were like, people that were down the face. I think a man, Dan's having a time over there. He's having a meeting with God. And like, I thank You that I'm clean. I thank You that I'm pure. I thank You, God, that there's nothing defiled on the inside of me. You cleaned this cup on the inside, and the outside shall be clean. You washed me. And I went into a tangent. Why? Because You poked me. Don't poke me. You will get splattered with Jesus. I will love you to repentance. I will show mercy. I will pray when you're not looking and cry for you. See, if you don't want to change, don't do me wrong. Because I won't get mad at you. And I won't ask God to curse you, knock you off your high horse and set you straight. I will weep when you're not looking and say, God, if they had any idea who they are, they wouldn't live this way. Would You show mercy to them when You let grace abound on their life? And you know what will happen? Holy Ghost will come and get you while you're not looking. Why? Because You poked me. And I don't know how to get angry at You. Because I know if You understood who You were, You wouldn't live that way. You wouldn't talk that way. You wouldn't act that way. So I'm not the one hurting. You're in trouble if you live that way. It's not haughty and high-minded. It's a humble thing. So you get alone with God and you understand if they knew who they were, they would never live that way. And you don't cry because of them. You cry for them. And Holy Spirit gets involved. Hello? Or else you're just hurt and you prayed for God to straighten them out. Now you told 3 friends what they did and they said, they did what? And now that person's stereotyped in their eyes. There's division, unresolved conflict, but we're all doing the holy thing. That has to stop. We have to stop reducing ourselves to that. That's the world in the church, guys. That's integrated into the way that seems right to man. I'm not being mean. I'm being real. See that strong stuff I say sometimes? I stick that sword in there. That's why I almost cried earlier and said, don't hear me wrong. Because God wants to father us. God doesn't want you thinking that that's permissible, that that's wisdom, that that's even the way. It's not the way. So I started shouting and screaming like that. And guess what happened? Submit to God. Resist the devil and he'll what? It wasn't until 3 o'clock in the afternoon that it was hours later, that I even remembered the video thing that went through my head. It totally was obliterated. I spun around. I said, I'll tell you, Jesus is amazing. And I was fired up. And everybody's like, what just happened to him? You know, the instrumentalist, everybody's in this place. And I'm like, ah! Ah! I mean, I could see my buddy Todd doing that, but not me. You know, Todd raging dreads. No! You know, nobody even be surprised. Because when it's all mushy like that, I'm just... But no, you poked me. A video came through my head that wasn't the kingdom and it wasn't my heart. And there's no deep secret in me and there's nothing that needs cleansed. I've been washed in the blood. Are you following me? See, we don't understand because we don't walk that close in relationship. We let things condemn us, shame us. Because we care, we try harder, set ourselves up to fail, and now we're condemned more. You wouldn't even try so hard if you didn't care. Why don't you give yourself that, at least, credit? You wouldn't even try. You wouldn't even feel bad if your heart wasn't alive. So, man, there's something good going on inside of you. You're on your way. Why be your own worst enemy with a lack of understanding and get caught up in religion and legalism and condemnation? Come on, guilt, condemnation, three major tools of the devil, guys. They're never the kingdom. Conviction's the kingdom. Repentance, changing the way you think. Not bawling at an altar and crying because of your sin. It's saying, God, that is so not who I am. And you might cry in the process, but it's not just some of you have walked far from God. You need to get to this altar. There we go again. And we say, God's really moving, man. The altar was packed. People crying everywhere. Yeah, because they feel like losers and they're going to go out and lose. And they'll be back again and we call it a move of God. And they'll be at the altar the next time you ask them to come. That's right. So you know what I did? I turned, and I don't minister this way much anymore because it creates a mess and God doesn't even tell me to. Years ago, he had actually set me straight. People used to invite me to the church because of the blow up. I was off the hook. You guys don't even know me in that day. I like understood that the power of God's real. And I mean, I wouldn't get off the platform. I'd just point to you, yell, you'd scream and hit the floor and couldn't get up. That's how I ministered. I'd get invited to churches because of that. And it got weird and it became a thing and it drew a lot of attention to me and it just got weird. People cling to that stuff, man. They love manifestations. You know what I've learned to love way more than manifestations? The truth. The truth. You know what I found in that day when I was doing all that stuff? I remember lining people up and just saying, fire! And they would fall over top of each other the whole way back the hall. Nobody had time to catch them. I'd pray for somebody over here and you could hear somebody thump over here. Sound like they had metal in the head. Boom! It's all the time. I'd ministered that way for years. And it got weird. I started realizing that the people that had cancer would fall and stick to the floor, but when they get up, they still had cancer. That stuff started bothering me. I started to check my motives and wonder what was actually even happening in the room. I saw more people healed when I just ministered out of faith and love and truth than I saw when I was doing the whole manifestation thing. But guess what people were crazy over? Manifestation. They want people shaking and cooking. I don't care if you shake and bake, man. I just want the cancer to leave. I don't care. Shake and bake all you want, but is the diabetes gone? Shake and bake all you want, but are those vertebrae healed or do they hurt now more because you shook? Come on, I've seen that all. Is it okay if I just talk plain? I mean, I'm touching some touchy stuff. I'm not saying I'm against the power of God. I just got straightened out on a few things. It was getting weird in me. It was drawing so much attention to my life. I am totally different now. I feel like I'm more healthy than I ever could possibly be in ministry. Because I have no need for manifestation. I don't need to wow you. I want to give you Jesus. You get what I'm saying? Okay. But in this service, I got these voices, and I went, he poked me, and I went, bah. And I said, ma'am, she was sitting right about where you are, sir, like three rows back. I said, ma'am, I'm not sure what's going on in your right ankle, but I feel like there's something growing there, and right now, if you'll check, you'll see it's gone. And she went, oh, my God. She had a tumor on the side of her ankle growing out, and they didn't know what it was. She didn't know what it was. She was going to get it checked. She reached down, it was completely gone. It had caused some kind of pain. And I said, sir, somewhere right in about where you had the cranberry sweatshirt on, I was right about there. I said, you got a herniated disc in the center of your back, and right now it's burning on fire. He said, oh, and God just totally healed him. He stood up and went, oh, and these things just started happening. Now watch, I don't even know that would have happened if it wasn't for the video. Do you see the wisdom of God? Satan came in an attempt to shut me down and break me, but he ran the risk of really pumping me up, firing me up, and setting me forth. And if I don't have a strong relationship and a healthy identity and a strong understanding of God's love for me through the finished work of Christ, then I let that video speak louder than truth. And my identity starts to line up with the fact that I heard the video in my head or saw it rather than the Christ that's in me and loves me. And all of a sudden I buy into the strategy and sell out to the truth. Does this make sense? So guess what? Because I saw the video, I'm not saying, hey, I wish we'd all see the junk of yesterday. What I'm saying is, if you do, listen, you want to get rid of it? Who really wants to get rid of it? If you stop seeing it as a problem, you'll get rid of it. Because it has no voice, then it'll stop coming. Oh, that was really good preaching. If you stop seeing it as a problem, it'll stop. Because it'll have no more influence in your life. And if you start using it as a springboard to know God more, love God more, profess God more, and proclaim God more, it'll really stop. Because now he's co-laboring with the wisdom of God and he's helping fashion you. The devil. Come on. When the day comes that you see that that's not a problem, it's the day it'll stop because it loses its voice. Oh, that's profound. Write that down. I might preach that again sometime and give that to me later. How you guys doing? Good to see you. Sorry. Just having a family moment. I stayed with those guys. We ran around together. We had fun. In California. Where were we at? Pasadena. Awesome. End of July? August. I was in Sacramento in end of July, mid-August. Because I turned around and went right back to the Chinese church. After. Yeah. Good to see you. I was going to stop everything and hug you now, but we'll wait. We'll wait. I do love you guys. We spent a lot of time in the car talking, weeping, having a good time. Just love you guys. Good to see you. Sorry, guys. We're family. Is that okay? I'm not a minister. Sorry. Like, preaching isn't what I do. Loving people's who I am. I'm a Jesus guy. I'm real. I'm not here to preach to you. I'm just here to be real and convey truths that change my life. So it's not about protocol and, hey, the camera's running. What are you doing, dude? We're just family. Amen? So listen, who's ever had a flashback from the past? Who's ever out of the blue just had something hit their mind? Whoever woke up hearing thoughts that they wish they weren't hearing? Now, if I'd ask you to show your hands and you were honest, you'd be amazed how many hands would go up. And I'd say, and how many of you let that affect you, ask for prayer, let it condemn you, felt guilty? A lot of people would raise their hands. Don't ever let that happen again after today. Seriously, it's a strategy from hell. It's a lie. Guilt, condemnation, and shame are the three major tools of the devil. Guilt is an absolute confession that you're not forgiven. Condemnation is a statement saying my life's worthy to be judged. Shame is a profession that it's still who I am, the thing I'm ashamed of. It's still me. So if you're walking in shame, how can the tree ever be made good? When are you going to let God love you and forgive you? It's not even some things that seem like are killing us. It's shame. Because we say, well, I brought this on myself. I should have never. And I know it's the time when I, and one day I disobeyed. And people get these weird thoughts that they believe are valid. And then they're receiving the condemnation of it all. Yeah. You're not damned. It's not condemnation for you. It's the blessing of the Lord. It's mercy. Triumphs over judgment. When your heart cares, you're different. You can't change what you did, but you can change. And when you change, you'll never stand and answer for the thing that you did. You'll answer for the change. Do you get it? And the devil says, yeah, but you did this and that. And God doesn't even know what he's talking about because you're brand new. It's not even you. I did a wedding one time. It was off the chart. This girl was a drug addict and married several times in her drug addiction. And now she's born again, getting married. And the pianist took off playing during the ceremony and sang in tongues and then interpreted it to the couple. And then prophecy came over me and I prophesied over her about how her family could tend to look at her and people look at her and say, here she goes again. And I said, but I'm here to tell you, says the Lord, that I'm so glad you're wearing that white. My, you look so good in that white. And I'm here to let you know you have never done this before. Oh, it was so powerful, man. Oh, my goodness. She's a, mascara everywhere. It's a mess, man, on wedding day. It's awesome. People wrecked by the love of God. I like that, you know, when it's not all Ken and Barbie and it's just, oh. I love it, man. Because see, the world will remember you, and even your family and even friends and even Christians remember you for where you've been. They'll keep an eye on you because, you know, it's wise to keep an eye on. You never know, you know. Did it once, you could do it again. So let them think that and believe that. It's okay. I'm not even saying it's wrong all the time. And sometimes in leadership, you got to keep an eye on certain things, but not at the cost of a man's identity, not expecting the worst. But here's the deal. You don't ever wear that. You expect to win and you thank God you're changed. You're not under the pressure of failing. You're under the privilege of winning. It's simple stuff. Come on, I'm not talking deep. This is simple. Isn't it? I turned you to Proverbs, didn't I? I probably ought to read it just because I turned you there. I don't know if it fits right now, but we'll find out. Because I wanted to go there and then preach, and I kind of just preached, and now I'm going there. This is amazing. And there's a reason I took you there. Because where my life is strongly right now is, we still pray for the sick. I'm all about praying for the sick. And I'm seeing God do a lot of neat things. Last night we did it kind of quick at the end in a sense because it's just my heart to pray for the sick and get you guys involved. But last night, if you could tell, was a night of truth and impartation of truth and just setting the record straight on some things and working out some lies, right? Did you get that? That's how it was. And this, today's the same way. I'm just talking to you. I'm just talking to you. And I feel like the strongest grace on my life in this season is the impartation of truth. And that if you'll humble your heart, like Pastor said, we didn't even talk about this. He just got up and said this about positioning our hearts, being good ground, shared the parable, Mark 4. I thought it was awesome because that stuff's in my heart. I'm thinking, man, if we'll just position our heart and have a hearing ear and humble our heart before the Lord and receive the impartation of truth, it will change our lives dramatically without the big kabang that we're always looking for. Truth makes you free. What's that look like? Duh. Whoa. And all of a sudden, what you see, you're empowered to become. And never go back into the blindness because you see now. Because light exposes and removes the darkness. You know light's greater than darkness. So let's get the light. Amen? So continuing in my word, you'll know that it doesn't say continue in your feelings, your emotions, ministry and prayer. Continue in my word. You'll know the truth. That's that heart knowing, come alive, seeing. And the truth. Well, the truth isn't letters on a page. It's a person. It's a spirit. He's called holy. Spirit of. You get it? Man. He goes, I'm just sitting on my bed for years. I can't even talk. Don't even want to read anymore. I'm just, oh God. I'm jogging. And the Lord just, you know how? Boom. Truth. And once you see it, you're in. You can't be lied to again. Did you get it? Until you see truth, you can't discern lies. But when you see truth, you go, who's ever got real strong truth and went, duh, and realized you were believing a whole bunch of lies and little half things and limited stuff and went, whoa. And as soon as you saw truth, it superseded and subverted all those things and they just walked away. You know, people say, well, I got to relearn. You don't have to relearn anything. Just see truth and everything else will fall away. You're not relearning. You're seeing truth. Whoa. And when you go, whoa, then everything that's not whoa is non-existent. Hello? Man, we just tend to complicate things with a psychological mentality. Well, I just got so much to relearn. No, you don't. You have something to see. And once you see that one thing, you become and it unlearns all that stuff. Do you get it? Let's just read this because this has to be important. It's really amazing because I like how God talks emphatic. And you know how people say don't say always and never. It's never really always and never. The Bible's full of always and nevers. I'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll always love and forgive. Right? He tells you that in no thing be anxious, but in all things with prayer and thanksgiving. Nevers and always are all through the Bible. I like that. Yeah. Let's just read. Verse 1. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. I'm sorry. See, it was so long ago I took you there, you forgot. But here's the cool thing, and it's not corny. It still says the same thing it would if we'd have read it a long time ago. Now that should excite you. The Bible says the same thing it did earlier. It's not fickle. It's not changing. And it's still there. Heaven and earth's going to pass away, guys. But His Word remaineth forever. Probably ought to make it priority and stop debating over it, fighting over it, or discounting it with human opinions, feelings. You know? Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Doesn't say blessings,
Get wisdom. Doesn't say prosperity. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. Calling wisdom or her. Isn't that amazing? Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Man, this stuff makes me cry. Love her. Do you hear relationship with truth? He's a person. His name's Jesus. Jesus didn't say, sing to me and pray to me. He said, follow me. He's the truth. He's life revealed. He's awesome. Watch. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Huh. Do you hear what he's saying? You seeing the truth is the biggest deal of your life. The eye is the lamp of the body. And if the eye is single, if it's healthy, the whole body's flooded with light. Doesn't say unless, of course, you're challenged with many issues and facing problems. It says if you see clear, you'll live clear. Unless, of course, you just got laid off and your spouse just left. Your eye is the lamp of your body. If your eye is single, your whole body's flooded with light. Unless, of course, it doesn't say that. It says, if you see clear, you live clear. See, the whole purpose of your Christian life is no matter whatever situation you're in, what does Jesus look like? Because you represent him. We're the body of Christ. We're the embodiment of Christ. So no matter what circumstance you're in, the answer for you is what does Jesus look like in that trial? How does Jesus manifest? You're in a car accident. What does Jesus look like in the car? Is he mad and running over the car? Didn't you see the sign? Well, if they saw the sign, you wouldn't be sitting there like that. We say weird things in crisis. You know, they rear end you. Didn't you see me sitting there? Hello. Yeah, 50 yards away. Let's go for it. Yeah, man. Sorry, dude. We did. We were about 50 yards out and we just thought, I wonder how far we can knock you, man. Come on. Or worse yet, we get out and look at our car and go, oh, man. God. And then we go, no. Hey, it's okay. We just showed him it's not. And now we're, look, it's okay. At least none of us are hurt. Oh, my God. No, it's okay. And then you become totally rhetorical and shallow and plastic. Happens all the time. Because we love things and love life in a sense where we're using God to get us through and have a better day and all that stuff. And we forget that the only reason we're here is to manifest him. And the church has taught herself into a jam. We think he's here to bless us. No, he's here to make us like him so the world can see who he is through our lives. He wants the earth filled with his glory, and man is the glory of God when he's walking in the image of God. Psalms 8 says that. That's not heresy. Hebrews 2 declares that. It's not blasphemy. Man created in the image of God is the revealing of the glory of God on the earth. Come on, he put him in a little garden called Eden. Do you guys know that? And he told him to be fruitful and multiply. That seems weird. Why do you put him in a little two-room apartment, tell him to tend and keep it and be fruitful and multiply? At some point, they're going to grow out the apartment. Why didn't they just give him the whole world? Well, he put him in that little place and told him to just seize that ground, take the ground, work that, and submit or subdue that and be fruitful and multiply. Why? So that as they were fruitful and multiplied, they would span out and cover the earth with God's glory. That's why when the Israelites were fallen, one after the other, fallen and backslided, and Moses is going through robe after robe, them poor fellas went through so many clothes. Dust, terrible. Think about how many robes that dude went through. I just think about that stuff, man. Now, they were in the wilderness. It probably sealed back up. You know, after he came out, it probably healed. Because their clothes grew up on them and stuff. But Moses would tear their clothes, dust on their head. There was culture and protocol stuff they did. I thought, man, them dudes had some dirty scalps, man.
And they had some tattered clothes because there was constant sinning and shouldn't have done this and oh my God. And what did God do? When he forgave Israel for one thing where Moses is talking and he's asking about God forgiving and God relenting and he said, I will. And he said, you know, they're going to reap the consequence of what they've done, but I will forgive them, et cetera, et cetera. He said, let me tell you something, Moses. As surely as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. Why did he say that right then? Because he's God. He's prophetic. He understands faith. He sees his creation fallen and totally nothing she was created to be. And what he's saying is, I'll forgive him, but let me tell you something. And he's prophesying, he's proclaiming that everything I intended man to be shall come to pass. And you will see the earth filled with my glory. It's meaning he's pointing to a new covenant, New Testament church that loves not her own life unto death and is selfless and understands love and has become one with God and one another. And what he's saying is, this is going to change because my son's on the way and people are going to get it. And if we're not careful, we've turned his son coming into us getting blessed, us going to heaven, us getting our prayers answered, us getting our needs met, instead of our lives transformed. And now you got a lot of discouraged people that go to church because their prayers haven't been answered. Come on. We've done that to ourselves. Countless ministries proclaim that stuff because it caters to the needs of men. And it gives them support and it will pray for you, send your needs, will pray over you. And it all sounds right on the surface. It sounds like everybody cares for everybody. But it's amazing how things cost money and how you have to send money. And it's all about you and your circumstances and about God intervening in your breakthrough. And you become so focused on your day and your life and you and you and you. That all of a sudden when you're touched wrong, there's no Jesus to even come out because you're already hurting because your eyes are already on your mess. And all of a sudden we've actually preached ourselves into a jam. Come on, guys. You did not wake up today for a better day. You woke up for a transformed one. And no matter what your day brings, you're going to reveal Christ. You want to see that in the same proverb? Wow, I just set it up. I just read it too. It was just awesome. Look at verse 18. The path of the just is like the shining sun. Oh, that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Well, what's the perfect day? When Jesus is revealed and manifested in every situation. So the path of the just is like the shining sun. You see clear. And it shines what? Ever brighter unto the perfect day. Does that mean all your ducks in a row? Or does that mean you seeing clear in the midst of everything? Carrying your cross, not taking account of suffered wrongs, walking in love, overcoming evil with good. So when you walk just, there's light, right? The eye, light. And it shines to the perfect day. So is every day set up to be the perfect day, no matter what the circumstance? Because Christ can be revealed. Come hell or high water, he shines. Hello? Come on, he said, get to the other side. And the storm's coming. They're freaking out. And he's sleeping on a pillow. Look, when Jesus says, you guys go to the other side, we probably have grace to get there. I just don't want to be ranting and raving and fearing and fussing and loving my own life. I'd rather be asleep on the pillow. That is not denial. Hello? Come on, at Shore Beach, praying about your trouble and then staying awake all night, wringing your hands and saying you're in faith. There has to be a place in relationship to decrease something. Your child goes wayward and you've let your identity be gripped by your child and all of a sudden you're finding your identity through your children. That is not cool. You're blessed to be an example to your children and reveal Christ to them, not be insecure because of them. Not be a broken mother because your child's out in Never Never Land. No, you should be a strong mother in the will of God. Not just crying every night to sleep and calling it prayer. saying, Father, I've invested good seed into that boy, and I know you've called him, and he has destiny, and I'm not letting any of this shake my soul, shake my life, my productivity. I commit him to your mercy, to your grace. I'm going to fear the Lord, Psalms 112, keep your commandments, and my descendants shall be mighty upon the earth. I'm not losing sleep. I'm not crying to sleep. I don't need prayer. My heart is before you as a priest unto God. Your grace is on that boy. People say, how's your boy doing? He's coming along. That sure beats despair and how you doing. And you can't even talk without crying. And then you talk about your boy all the time. You say, but I love him so much. No, you're finding your identity through him. And maybe even feeling like you failed as a mother. And if you were a better mother, he wouldn't be out there. And it all has to do with you at this point. And you're being deceived. I'm just talking plain. One, it happens all the time. I've watched countless people, and I'm not picking on mothers, especially mothers, lose their identity when their children go away, take it all kind of personal judgment, condemnation, and they can't be okay until their child's safe at home. No, you can be okay because you trust their well-being and welfare to the living God, and then you don't lose your productivity, and you show your co-workers and the people in your life and your family that there's an absolute truth about faith and there's a strength in the Spirit. You get it? Or we're just doing the church thing. Guys, if this gospel has no power to change my life in that moment, then we're just doing church services. Let's just be real. And there's really not that much hype. We're just people like everybody else. The only thing is we go to church and they don't. Come on, there's something missing. If I get thrown into crisis after 50 years of church attendance and I get thrown into crisis and react like the man that never went to church, then we've missed the gospel horribly. See, I'm going to talk to you that plain because I care. I'm telling you, we need to hear this kind of stuff. Or we're going to lull to sleep with a bless me mentality and just use all our faith to get our needs met and kind of rank how we did along the way rather than just manifest Christ in the face of it all. Well, now I'm talking to you. That's why you're a Christian, to manifest Christ. The day of the just is like the shining sun, and the shine shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Man, the way of the wicked, it's darkness, and they don't know what makes them stumble. You see that? Forgive them, Father, they... So they're clueless. They don't know that it's the way they're thinking. They don't know that they're just taking it personal and accounting for suffered wrong. And now that's why their heart is so rigid and hard and angry. Because they think that's normal, because the way that seems right to man teaches them that's the way every man feels when he's wrong. But the gospel doesn't teach us that. We have a better way, a new way, a different way. So you being hurt isn't the kingdom. You being in unforgiveness and angry and frustrated and jealous and full of pride, and that's not the kingdom. Heaven doesn't even know what you're doing. The world taught you that way. And he wants you to have a brand new living way, renewed in the spirit of your mind, transformed.
You get it?
I gotta quit. We're not doing tonight, so I just figured I'd go for it a little bit here. But I'll just, no, it's 11. We're okay. Are we okay? Are we all right? Oh, be careful, man. Are we all right? See, because I'm like a pool cord doll. And you can pull me out a mile. How many? And then I'm hoping somebody just pulls that string again. Hey, man. I'll behave. I'll be good. I'll be good. Listen, one of the biggest things I said this morning is, look, if you don't see yourself the way God sees you, you'll never approach him with an unveiled face. You'll try to work your way there. If God uses you supernaturally, you have more confidence to express yourself to him or worship him or face him when you're all alone. I know people that say they try to get alone and pray and then they lose. They can't say nothing. Everything goes blank. They say it all the time. They say, well, I must have a stronghold. Pray for me. I get alone with God and I just don't even know what I'm going to say now. And I just said, it's because we become self-conscious and we're not confident of how much he loves us. And then we have total audience with God. Because you don't have to produce anything and tone your voice and sound spiritual and say a word out of the Bible. Just sit on your bed and say, Father, thank you that you love me. Man, you know what? I've just realized, Lord, I've struggled with this love thing for a while, but it just got simple to me. You have to love me or Jesus wouldn't have came. Jesus, you'd have never died if I wasn't valuable. Man, I used to think the cross exposed my sin. Now I see it removes my sin.
to expose my value. You thought dying for me was worth me living. I'm thankful I'm alive. Thanks for loving me, God. Come on, that's communion. That's prayer. That's fellowship with the Lord. Holy Spirit, you're amazing in my life. I welcome you. I'm asking you to lead me in truth and guide me and help me to be a friend to you like you are to me. I just have confidence in you. You'll never lead me astray. You'll never steer me wrong. I put my total trust in you. You're not a man that you should lie. I trust you, Holy Spirit. Thanks for showing me things to come, teaching me all things about Jesus. Thanks for living inside of me. You get it? See, Christians don't tend to do that. We're not even taught to do that a lot. We just pray about trouble. We just have a list of prayer requests a mile long, man. When I go home, I'm going to have countless messages on my machine. People, they understand I travel every week in my life, but because they see something in me that encourages them, they need me to pray for them. So they're like, you want to hear the stuff they call on my phone machine at home. I just want you to keep me in prayer, brother, and just pray for this. And it's stuff, situations about their life for me to keep them in prayer. I've got so much going. I've got hundreds of thousands of people I'm passing by and praying, touch, love. I think people think I sit on a rocker with an iced tea and just pray prayer requests. It's just funny. Just keep us in prayer, brother. We're trying to get another job and job's been tight and just, so it seems sincere and it's all nice and there might be a place for that in somewhere in. But man, I am not the guy to call to ask me to keep you in prayer. I don't even have time sometimes to hardly, I go to the bathroom on the telephone.
See, now you're afraid to call me. Because you'll get visions. Oh, I just helped the cause right there, Steve. My phone is ringing less. What's that? 1,000 less calls.
I've gone home already and my phone's full and the ID, all the messages on my ID, none of them are on the full message on the phone. They're all wiped off because it only holds 30, which means there was 60 plus calls asking for prayer. I'm just me. One fella. We get driven by need and we think we need prayer for everything. No, we need relationship with Him. Amen. You actually don't need as much prayer as you think. A lot of the prayer we're to do is praying for the world, for the hearts of men, for the grace of God to continue to move to preach the gospel clearly and effectively. We've turned prayer into our list of needs. And you realize in your relationship with God, that list of needs goes away, disappears. God just, sometimes you'll just think something that would be nice and God will just do it. You don't even pray. I don't even have a knowledge of praying all that stuff. I don't have that kind of prayer life where I pray for things. I pray for more of Him, to know Him, to understand Him, to discern clearly and more hunger and sharper and clearer in the Word. But man, I don't even know what I'd need. People say, how can I pray for you? What do you need? I don't know. Man, they say, oh, come on. No, I mean, just pray for more of Him. I don't know. I don't need anything. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, your children could be a little more on fire, couldn't they? Maybe this and that. Yeah, that stuff's all just before the Lord. That's just a place of faith. Of course I believe. But it's not my prayer thing. Get it? Like in your relationship with God. Father, I just thank you. You just take such good care of us. Man, you know the bills this month and you know how, you know, I got cut off them 3 days of pay and I'm just thanking you, you're there. And I'm just thanking you that you work things to the good and I don't have to sweat this thing, but I promise I'm going to continue to my own conscience. I'm going to do justice and continue to do the best of my ability, make sure I'm at work and put forth my effort. But I thank you, your blessings on my life. That's communion. You get in a relationship like that, you don't have to call somebody and pray that finances come through. Well, you're just in relationship, finance, things happen like that. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, and you're just more in love than you've ever been before. And relationship goes, poof. But if it's always just getting somebody to pray for you, and I'm not against prayer. Don't hear this wrong and make some wrong thing out of it. There's a place to grab people and to agreeing and touching anything. I understand that. But some of us go into that pray for me arena and have never even considered communion with God. You know what I used to have on my phone machine? Hello, you've reached the Molders where Jesus is Lord. And He's as close as the mention of His name. And if you call on Him right now, you might not have to talk to me. But if so,
But if so, leave your name and number and I'll be sure to get back to you. Bless you. Click. That was on my phone machine. I had a lady bawling so hard one day on my machine. I called her back. I recognized her voice. It was hard. I had to listen for a while and I realized who it was. I recognized her by her cry. She had 6 children at home. They were all young and she was really having children, man. And I was like, honey, you know, we preach more than like Genesis 1, 2, and 3. There's a lot more Bible. She's kept having kids, man. We have this one lady who doesn't feel anything when she has babies, so she loves having them. She has like 10. She doesn't have pain, contractions, nothing. She just drops out the kids and holds them and cries. And so she says, this is the way it's supposed to be. You know what? It's so fun to have kids. Let's have another. So now she's almost got like an egg cart full. She's almost got a dozen, man. She's got like 10. But she doesn't feel anything. She just has her babies. We teach that kind of stuff. We're hypo-spiritual. But she called me bawling, and I called her back. And she just answered, hello. I said, hey, hon. I said, it's Pastor Dan. What's going on? She said, oh, hi. And I'm like, you did call my house earlier today, didn't you? You were really crying. I'm sure it was you. Oh, my goodness, yes. I said, well, that was a serious cry. She said, oh, no, it wasn't. I wasn't in trouble. She said, it was your phone machine. She said, I had a little dilemma pop up, and I grabbed the phone and called you like you were God. She said, I never even talked to Jesus, thought about Jesus all morning. I never communed with him. I just ran into a problem, and I said, well, I got to call Pastor Dan. And I heard your voicemail, and I bawled and realized I hadn't even thought about Jesus. I'm making Dan Jesus. She said, and I have always thought that I had no time for the Lord because I got 6 kids. And she said, I made that a justification. I said, well, I can't get along with the Lord. I got 6 kids. And she said, the Lord grabbed my heart and showed me he was longing to be with me and missing me and wanting me to commune with him. And right in my living room, I dropped that phone. I was bawling. I said, yeah, you were bawling. And she just communed with God. She knelt before the Lord. She said, a half hour went by. She said, them kids was quiet, at peace. Everybody was fine. And she realized, I can commune with Jesus. I can walk in relationship. See, when we teach prayer and communion, don't turn it into an appointment with God. You're not making an appointment. If I set an appointment with my wife to talk to her at 8 in the morning till 9 and then didn't see her till 8 between 9 and the next day and did my hour a day, I wouldn't have a very good relationship. You're not making an appointment with God. You're in fellowship with him. He never leaves you. You're with him. Hello, we get so rigid with stuff. I had these 3 precious ladies come up at a conference. They were live wires. They had their little notepads and pens. They were hilarious. They said, we need to talk to you. I said, okay. They're like, you could tell they were on a mission. They had that look in their eyes that you just kind of stay back a couple feet. And they said, we want to know what your life with God looks like in your prayer life. We want to know how much time is prostrate, how much is on your knees, how much. It was that off the wall. And they got pens. They're going to write to do like Dan's workout video. Because they're going to get fit in the Lord. And I'm like, what? So they're like, because Dan's video, you know, how to do it in the Lord. So they're going to do my workout. And I'm like, excuse me? Because you don't want to belittle people, but it's hilarious. I was like, and they were so serious. I'm like, excuse me? I don't. Well, we want to know because we see you and we want to do and pattern. And no, you girls got it all wrong. I don't even know how I would answer those questions. I have no clue. I'm just with him. He's with me. We've got this thing going on. It's just us. I don't go to him when I need him. He's with me. I don't pray when crisis arises. Been with him, and when crisis arises, the gospel defends. I don't wait till things get tight to press in. I'm with him now, and he'll never leave me. So when the metal crashes, he's everywhere. When the people do injustice, he's everywhere. When things don't go the way you hope, he's everywhere.
When a spouse is in trouble, when a loved one is sick, he's everywhere. When a child's on drugs and out there, he's everywhere. He's home now. He's doing good. But he was on a long, bad journey. But you couldn't tell that. You look on any of them videos that you've ever seen me preach, you couldn't tell my boy was in trouble. Because I can't see that. Now I'm going to live productive. You watch some videos, you couldn't tell that my wife had been through a season of trouble. She's doing really good. She's doing as good as I've ever seen my wife. Bless her heart. But you can't look at me and tell what's going on. Why? Because the wilderness is a place of spirit and power. It's not a place of sunburnt dry and die. Holy Ghost led Jesus in right after baptism to the wilderness. Why? To fulfill in 40 days what they failed for 40 years. Tempted by the same devil, stood before the same God. They wandered and died and never reached the promise. He came out with a spirit and power. We say, how you doing? Pray for me, brother. I'm going through a wilderness. Must be the Israelites. What am I saying? There's only one small difference about the two wilderness experiences. They were self-focused and self-centered. He was selfless. They went into the wilderness for what God could do for them. He went into the wilderness for God's name in you. The wilderness had no power over him because he was selfless. Soon in the same wilderness, faced devils, fasted, the elements, no complaining, grumbling, it'd be better for us, no wandering and dying. He came out of the wilderness in 40 days, fulfilled what they failed, endued with power, and stepped in and let it roll. They wandered, it'd be better for us, be better for us, be better for us. Man, remember the days of Egypt? At least we had leeks and onions, man. It was never about them. It was always about his name. It was always about him revealing himself to the nations through them. And all they found time to do was complain. And when you complain, guys, whoa. Forgive me. I'm not accountable for this stuff. It's not my fault. I'm not trying to pull an emotional card on you. When you complain, you're letting the devil know and everyone around very clearly, it's all about you. You have every reason to be ridiculously thankful in the midst of every extreme adversity in your life. Because you will never answer for your sin. You are going to live forever. You will never die. God will never leave you. His favor is forever upon your life. And you find a menial reason based on life to complain. And let everyone know you don't understand. The Bible says, don't you complain like they did in the wilderness. You have their life written out as an example and an admonition, so you never follow their example. It says, stop complaining or you'll be devoured like they were by the devourer, destroyed by the destroyer. Philippians 2 says, do all things without grumbling and complaining so you can be seen innocent and harmless in a perverse, twisted world and shine forth as a light. When you complain, it's a sure statement that it's about you. People have loved ones that are sick and die and they never see them healed. They change their theology, try to crutch up their conscience, change who God is because they take it so personal. Man, you know how many people I've seen healed? I've been blessed. I've watched ridiculous fun things in this country. I've watched blind eyes open, just open. I've seen tumors just disappear. I've seen ridiculous things. But last Christmas, after I was here, I watched my mother die of 40 years of MS. Prayed for her, sat with her. She couldn't walk for years. She was on more tubes than you can imagine. Feed tube and all kinds of stuff. Catheter bag. I changed my mother's pants, a son, for years. Carried her upstairs to bed. But you can't see that any of that had some kind of negative effect on me. Why? Because life is a gift. And even if we don't understand why we haven't seen the answer and the victory, we have the victory. We can't lose. We've already won because Christ has raised from the dead and we will never die. And if you let this life define your life, you're way deceived.
And if you have to come up with some weird theology to defend your own soul, then it's really about you too. Come on, I don't know why we didn't see it. I just know it was close to home. It drove me crazy sometimes. It was one of the biggest trials of my life. I went through a season where I didn't even pray for her because I felt like it was just religious because I was so close to it. I felt like I was just doing the Christian thing. So I learned a lot and a lot. But there's one thing that's in me. It's called integrity towards God. And He is never my problem. He's always my answer. And Mom won. She didn't lose. Yes, she left too soon. She was only 68. Yes, it seemed to cost her years of her life. And I don't like it, but we won. And I'm going to continue to go after and contend and pray and believe for healing with all my heart. You got it? See, sometimes you need to tell those stories because you look at me and you might think I'm this way because everything's going so great. No, I watched my mother suffer my whole life. But here's the thing about Mom. I'm not saying this to condemn you. You just stay open and humble. Never one time, it's not an overstatement. This is the truth about my mother. Never one time, not one time, my Christian mother. And she would say, "By stripes, I'm healed." I'd go in the room and I'd say, "Hey, Mama, how you doing?" She'd say, "Why? Hey." She's just laying there in a bed. Sweetest thing you've ever seen. Gentle, tender. "Hi. Well, how you doing, Mama?" "Well, I'm fine. I'm fine." She's always fine. Why? Because in her heart she was. Because she knew truth. Never one time. Do I have a memory of my wife complaining about her life? Not one time. Not one time. And she had more complications than you can imagine. I see people lose it because they have a headache for an afternoon. Be real with me. I see people lose it because they have to fight traffic now and then. I'm being real. She had more physical infirmity than you can imagine. And she was so pleased. I didn't even cry when she passed because of Jesus, because of faith. I did my own mother's memorial graveside. And man, did I blow a trumpet. Oh. I didn't cry till I got to the cemetery. My dad called me and said, "Dan, I don't know how you're going to handle this. I don't know if you're going to even be able to handle this." But he said, "I don't know who could do justice on a spiritual level to your mother and her life more than you, being her son and knowing and being and just what you understand." He said, "I just don't want anybody to speak on her behalf. If you think you could pull it off, but I know it might be really hard." I said, "Are you kidding? I would be honored. Thanks for asking." He said, "You'd be able to do it?" I said, "Absolutely." He was all excited. I never even cried until I got to the cemetery. And there's two rows of cars parked the whole way up to the top of the hill side by side to walk to her graveside. To a woman that didn't leave the house for years. Why? Because her life was so impacting. It spoke so loud. Now, some people make the mistake and say, "Well, see, God took and put that suffering on her so He could reach and da-da-da. And He never healed her because that was her gift. That was her grace." That's deception. Stop that and stop believing that. You'll never have faith in your life if that's the cards God plays. God gave you the kingdom. He gave you a sword. He gave you a shield. He gave you the power of the name of Jesus. That stop writing off the gospel with sentimental analogies that try to crutch up our souls when we're confused. There were nursing staff that took time out of their lives to stand at her grave. There were three doctors. I lost it. I cried. The head doctor of the whole York Hospital, director of doctors, was standing there because Kay was a remarkable woman and he had never seen a patient like her. Her disposition, her graciousness. "I'm sorry, I'd move more if I could." And they're trying to get blood and stick her with needles. And the nurses don't even know what to make of her because she doesn't growl at them. She doesn't moan. She doesn't say, "Oh, not again."
She's just tender and sweet and not a grumble or murmur out of her mouth. And when she passed the whole way up the hill, it was parked full. It's humbling. So I blew a trumpet and shared why you're all here. Let me tell you why you're all here. I know why you're here for a woman that never left her house, that couldn't even get around, that couldn't seemingly contribute to society in ways that maybe others can. It was a woman that was shut in a bed. But yet you're all here. Let me tell you why. Because she was amazing. Because you never met anybody quite like her, because her disposition, she didn't go. And they're like, now they're all bawling because they're remembering her. And they know that's why they're there. And I said, now let me tell you why she was that way. She's not just an enigma. She's not just one of those rare individuals. She's a woman of God. She's a woman of faith. And she loved not her own life unto death. And she didn't take MS personal. She took the kingdom personal and her destiny personal. And the fact that she's called to shine a light in the face of it all personal. And she made sure she never let what she was going through define her, but what Christ went through defined her. And she shined her light well in the midst of a situation that many of us can't understand. And I blew a trumpet. And I said, some of us complain when our cell phone battery's going dead. Some of us complain when the car doesn't start right away. Some of us complain, and I left it, man, I was preaching. And there's standing, the head doctor, director of doctors came to me weeping. He said, sir, you put a lot of explanation on that woman today. Because to me, she was extraordinary. And you really helped me understand why. And you sure made me think about a lot of things in my own heart. He said, thank you. And a doctor, head of doctors. I mean, I said, it's fun. Think about it. What a resume. Never heard my mother complain. Never, oh, this stupid MS. I don't know why I have to go through. That's impressive. Humbling. It built something in me. I didn't even know it, Steve. The whole time that thing was built, because I preached that way, because I gleaned it and learned it and became it through my mother's experience and didn't even realize that was happening. I just realized that nothing we go through should have the power to change who we are now that he's went through what he did. Christ in me is the hope of glory. Complaining changes nothing. It just weakens me and makes me a subject victim to the problem. True? And it tells the enemy that you're considering yourself, and now you're a target for more adversity. You ever see a boxing match? I used to watch boxing when I was young. I don't watch anymore. I'm not necessarily against it. I never thought about it. But there used to be some good boxing when I was a kid. You had Foreman and Frazier and Ollie and all them guys. So boxing was a big deal back then. And we'd watch boxing all the time. But you know, them big old boys was in there heavyweight. And towards the end of the rounds, you could tell they were feeling it. And they'd be lumbering and sluggish. But somebody hit somebody and that instinct kicked, and they could tell they rocked them. And somehow they get strength. You ever see a boxing match? The two guys look like they're ready to fall over. And all of a sudden he hit him and he realizes he's hurt. And this strength comes, this aggression, and all of a sudden he finds something he didn't have. And he'll boo, 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 and boo. And it's like, okay. Well, that's exactly how the devil is. Man, he's swinging, he's trying to hit. And when he sees he's got you, he's coming for the kill. He listens for that kind of vulnerability. And he wants to see who he can devour. Your life's not your own. You've been bought with a price. You overcome by the blood and the word of your testimony, but you love not your own life unto death. Let your days of crying for yourself be over, okay? Man, it's a lonely party. Come on. I'm talking from experience. I could cry for myself because I lost my mom and she never was healed and I never got to do things with my mom that other people get to do with their mom. And the list could go on and I could run my mind long enough and feel sorry for myself if I didn't understand the gospel. Don't tell me I don't understand. You're wrong. I do understand because I experience life just like you do. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Come on, my boy was out there selling drugs and doing drugs and messing up bad. He knocked on the door last year, right before I came here, 123 pounds broken. How's that changed the gospel? So he gets gunned down. He gets arrested and imprisoned for life. He gets shot and I lose him. How's that change who I'm called to be, the Christ in me and destiny? I'm not saying it's good and it's cool and we wish for it. What I'm saying is, how do any of these things change the big picture of truth if I keep my eyes on the Lord? Why do I let one of those things rise above truth and become Lord in my life when it's not Lord? It's temporal. It's tragic, but it's temporal. Why do I justify it by human reasoning and sentiment and human empathy and emotion and find a way to yell but the gospel when there's no yell but? See, my boy is a gift. God never gave me my boy to covet him at the cost of God. He gave me my boy to have an avenue to reproduce who Christ is in me. And if my boy is out there, I can't do anything about that now, but I can stay in position and reveal Christ. So guess what my son did when he came home months later? He wrote me a note. And he gave me a note in writing. He wrote it out. Sometimes your words can stumble you when you try to talk. He just wrote a note. He said, "Dad, I just want to write you a note and let you know that I can't even explain and understand why I was so rebellious and angry. I want to let you know it certainly wasn't you. I used you as my excuse many times. But the truth is, it was all a lie. It was an excuse." He said, "Dad, I'm rocking my brain, and this is going to sound like an overstatement, but there's not one thing I feel like I could even come up with that I could adjust in your life and say you should have done it different. You've been an amazing example of consistency and of truth. And the truth is, I was in rebellion and I was angry." And he said, "And I've seen what this family has tested you with all the way through, from Mom and Sis and me. And Dad, you've never changed. You're always the same. And I want you to know I'm excited and honored to have a dad like you that have given me a gift that's priceless. An example of a life lived that never changes in any circumstance. You've given me something, Dad, that can't carry a price. Now you tell me standing in faith all those years isn't worth it. You tell me walking in God isn't worth it." See, because faith sees bigger than now. "Yeah, but he didn't come home. We've been praying and praying, but he's still out there using. But I'm afraid." Stop that. It's called unbelief. "Yeah, but I love him." Well, if you love him, be in faith. Faith works through love. You guys all right? Okay. I'm going to close with you here. I want you to do this before we leave. I want you to really let this be the strong purpose of your heart when you leave here today. That you're going to purpose to continue to see yourself the way God sees you. He sees you for destiny, for potential. Through the blood, Colossians 1 says he sees you holy, blameless, and above reproach. So don't reproach yourself. He sees you above reproach. So receive his love. Thank him that he's qualified you. He's made you holy. He's made you pure. Take the veil off your face. If some of you feel like you've been condemned before the Lord, and some of you today feel like, "Yeah, but you don't know, I've been messing around. And even this morning, I this and that." So deal with that. Why do you stay in that cycle, man? Get alone with God and say, "You know what? My life's more than these actions. And you see me a whole lot more than what I've been seeing myself." And some of you ladies would really get this. You feel like you've been a little distant and you can't get close to God, and your life's convicting you and condemning you. And man, get in a bedroom and just be like a bride, and just like you take off a veil. Man, you might even want to just hang one over your face. Say, "You know what, Father? I've been living veiled. I've been ashamed to face you. And the truth is, when I was yet a sinner, you sent your son. And I'm not justifying sin. I'm saying my life's more than what I've been producing. And I've been living a lie. I've been in a cycle of guilt and condemnation. And I'm failing to come to the one that I love the most. The one that loves me. And today I'm letting you know I'm here to be your bride. You take that thing off. You commune with him. And you just let him love you. And you never put that thing back on again. You hearing me? Hey guys, don't be weirded out by that. You can do that too, because you're a bride. Whether you know it or not, you're wearing a dress. And you look really good in it. Unshaved legs and everything, man. Hairy legs, combat boots, and a robe of righteousness. He wants to marry me. Yay. I look so good to him. He loves when I believe the gospel. He loves when you believe it. So get that veil off, okay? And purpose to always see yourself the way he sees you, because he sees you through the blood. That is not an excuse to sin. That's not a reason to sin and get away with it. It's a reason to be free. And as you let the tree become good, the fruit is automatically going to be good. If you clean the inside of the cup, but if you question your heart on every thought you've ever had, you're going to keep yourself thinking the cup's not clean. But every time you get that thought and it defiles you, you say, Father, I so thank you, you've changed me. God, I so thank you, my life's been transformed. Remember? Father, I just thank you that I have access to you and you love me. Good tree, continuing his word, day and night, meditating, musing, truth, planted, rivers, living water, leaf, never withering, bearing fruit, season, yay. I read that. Trees of righteousness, planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, not that you might be blessed, that he might be glorified. Let's learn to not love our own lives unto death, okay? Let's stop making it all just about physical needs and surface needs. Let's let it be about transformation and watch those other things come into alignment. You all good with that?
Yeah.
Will you stand to your feet with me, please? We're going to pray together. I know I'm not doing a lot of prayer and ministry today or last night, even today it seems. It's just be okay with that for now. We might get our chance, but I've learned this. The Lord showed me this. Not everybody would understand or agree with this, but sometimes in a message like this, having altar calls subverts the very thing I'm calling you to. Because then you come here to try to get what we're talking about again this way. And there's a place for this, but there's a greater place for this always. And a lot of people run to this all the time because they're not pursuing this. And there's a healthy blend. Would you agree? So I'm just going to pray over you guys, okay? And man, there is a couple people here, and I think I've touched a couple, and I don't know if there's any more. We're going to do this real quick, and you're going to all believe with me as a house. I rarely do this, but it's in my heart. You got cancer, a terminal thing. You got a condition that's not cool and it's hurting your body. I need you to get up here real quick. I'm going to pray over you right now. We're all going to agree together with you. That lady, yeah, with the respiratory, that's good. I was just going to call her. Bring her up here, sir. You come with her, please. Come on, guys. Just run up here if that's you. Thank you. I just felt this in my heart. I want to do this as a family, okay? I'm going to pray for you guys. Bless you guys. Okay? This is your family. It's not me praying. It's us believing God. We're an army. We have weaponry, man. Jesus is Lord. Thanks for coming up, sweetheart. Just glad you guys came up. We're going to pray for you, okay? Now listen, before we pray, I want you to set your heart on this truth right here. Now I know you've been going through this a long time, and I know the tendency is to get frustrated. Or listen, you love me, God. I don't have strong answers of why and how and why I haven't even been healed. But I'm done introspecting, I'm done fault-finding, I'm done wondering what's wrong with me. And I'm just saying, you love me, and I thank you, it's your will to make me whole, and I'm standing in that grace. And God, I thank you, nothing can change my mind. So I want you to camp right there, throw all that other stuff away that's come along the way. Because I'm telling you, time has a weird way we perceive time. And time doesn't have the power to change truth, okay? Stretch your hands to him, guys, we're going to pray. Father, I thank you that every sickness comes out of these bodies right now. Father, I thank you there's not one trace of cancer that can remain. Yeah, if there's a couple leaders you want to touch them, that's good. Just pray, church, right now, and just speak God's healing and God's blessing over them. Father, we just thank you right now for your healing grace and power. Be healed in Jesus' name. Every trace of sickness, leave the body right now. In the authority of Jesus' name, be whole. Whole. Thank you, Father. Wholeness today in Jesus' name. Be absolutely whole. Be free. Be healed, sweetheart, in the presence of your God because of his unstoppable love for you. Be healed in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, thank you, making all things new. All things new. That's good. God, thank you. All things new. All things new. Come out of her body in Jesus' name. Thank you, Papa. All things new. You make all things new. You really do. You make all things new. Completely whole. Completely whole. Not one trace. Not one trace. All things new. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Yay for you, Jesus. Isn't that good? Yeah, that's good. Holy Spirit, thank you for what you do. Thank you. You're more than a feeling and a goosebump. Your love is here. Your presence that's here. I thank you for that warmth just flowing right down through. And I just thank you for the wholeness that comes. I thank you there's fruit and manifestation of healing right now. Thank you. We acknowledge your presence. We're not ashamed of your presence. We're not ashamed of your manifestation. But man, it's greater than a touch. I thank you. You're more than a goosebump to this woman. That's right. Go deeper. Yeah. Right inside her. And clean house. Thank you. Right inside, God. Man, I see him going to the center core of your being and just like cleaning house. That's what I see. Yeah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Papa. Wholeness. 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 Come. Wholeness. It's come right now. Try. Pain leave, swelling leave, numbness leave. Leave. In the authority of Jesus' name, you be blessed. Stretch your hands to this woman, guys, and just speak life and wholeness. The restoration of strength. Just speak life over her. Just anything that comes to your mind that's prospering her being, her life, wholeness, her days mobile, full of strength. Just make decrees over her right now in the presence of God. Jesus' name. Yeah. Jesus' name. Thanks, Papa. Not because we're afraid. Because she's loved and you promised her because you love her. Because it's her covenant privilege. We're not commanding or demanding you. You love her. That's why you've set these things in order. Yeah. Thank you, God, for making her whole. You leave her body and never come back in Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you. I bless you. Be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be healed. Father, I thank you for bringing wholeness. I thank you for bringing strength and increase in all her faculties and abilities. God, I thank you nothing's lacking in this woman. That today is a day of grace and strength and change. I thank you, God, that she looks at her husband numerous times and says, you know, it's different. You know, it's easier. You know, I'm stronger. You know, God, you're doing it. God, thanks for loving me. Father, I thank you that this is a day of dramatic change. Father, I thank you nothing can stop your will in her life. Nothing, nothing will stop your power. In Jesus' name, I release the grace of God with the church in Jesus' authority for the wholeness and the healing of this woman's body. Infirmity, come out of her. Weakness, we adjure you. Leave her now. Now, Father, I thank you. Her lungs are strong. I thank you she can breathe again, thrive again, live again. In Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you from the year 2000 on that you take these things away. God, I thank you. You right now minister to her equilibrium. And I thank you, God, you make all things new. In Jesus' name, today different than every day since 2000. And let increase come dramatically, God. Touch her precious husband. Thank you. Go right through his spine. Thanks. That's good. Right through his back. Be healed. In the authority. Oh, you're right there. That's good. In Jesus' name, be a new man. Holy, holy is the Lord. Be healed. Pain you leave. Vertebrae, you be rock solid. Discs, you grow and increase. Holy Spirit, thank you. Breathe. Right? Yeah. Go right through his spine. Thanks. Because you love this man. Take away years of toil in their lives, pain. Take away confusion. God, I thank you for making all things new and letting your love shine like never before. Bless my sister, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, guys, you just stay right here. We're going to pray corporately and I'm going to dismiss you and you can love and hug and do whatever. But thank you. I love you guys. Jesus is amazing. It's called faith. It's called believing God and not being afraid. It's called believing God and not letting what we're faced with become who we are. Who's in us is who we are. Oh, okay. So let's do this. Just Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We just thank you for the transformation of our lives. And I believe as a whole, this room, we're willing and ready to become love. Thank you for letting the wisdom of the world wash away and the wisdom of God reign in our lives. Thank you for taking these truths that are imparted and bringing them to our remembrance in every time of need. We're not trying to leave here with a store bank of knowledge. We're leaving here with hearts that have been infused with life. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you'll bring these things to our understanding and you'll let them become the natural flow of who we are, that we haven't bit our lip to change. And when people see the change in our life, all we can do is weep and give all glory to you, because you are amazing and your grace is sufficient for our lives. So we're done striving. We're done trying so hard. We're just going to be your kids. And we're going to let grace fashion us. And Holy Spirit, you're going to make us the masterpiece of heaven. God, we thank you in Jesus' name for the work you do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Love you guys. Have an amazing day. All right. Bless you. Yeah.